ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Vishnu Sahasranam. I've been speaking on this on and off for the last 1.5 years or so. Name 301, according to some counting systems, or name could be 300 or so. The verse in which name 301 comes is Yugadi Krit Yugavataro Naikamayo Mahashanaha Adrishyo Vyaktarupascha Sahasrajit Anantajit. The commentator of the Sri Sampradaya, or the famous commentator, Parashara Bhatta, he says that from here up until name 313, which will come in the next verse, these are all names of Krishna that we already know, but specifically Krishna as the Vatapatrashayi avatar, or he who lies on a banyan leaf. Baby Krishna lying on a banyan leaf. Baladev Vidyabhushan says that the first four names in this verse describe the Yuga avatars, and the next four describe Kalki. So which description is right? Parashara Bhatta or Baladev Vidyabhushan? Different acharyas saying different things. What's the answer? Both are right. The acharya is never wrong. Each name can be explained in many ways. So name 301. Yugadi Krit. Yuga, the general meaning, is a division of time, very long division, specific division. Specifically, we know there is Satya Yoga, Treta Yoga, Dwarpa Yoga, Kali Yoga. Yuga Adi means the beginning, or Yugadi can also mean yugas and everything else like that, etc. And krit means one who does or one who makes. So with these three different three names and different approaches to understanding what they mean, then various understandings of this name can be understood. He is the maker at the beginning of the yoga. He makes at the beginning of the yoga. There is a slight difference between that. And he makes yugas, etc. Okay, so the first meaning we can discuss is he who inaugurates each yoga by appearing as the yuga avatar. Now we know that Krishna, in this day of Brahma, appeared at the end of Dwarpa Yuga. And the function of, although Krishna is not specifically the yuga avatar, he's also not the yuga avatar, but he's not specifically the yuga avatar. He's the avatari, the source of all avatars. But with the appearance of Krishna at the end of Dwarpa Yuga, the function of the yoga avatar was subsumed within Krishna or by Krishna. So I believe it is Jiva Goswami says that the yoga dharma in this case was brought in at the beginning of the Dwarpa Yuga by various rishis. But the normal course of events is that Yuga Avatar appears at the beginning of the Yuga to institute the Yuga Dharma, or the particular religious process for that age. So he makes the Yuga in various ways. One way is by making the divisions of time. Now we may say that, well, the divisions of time are there because the sun and the various planets and the various stars, they move. That's why there's a division of time. But it's Krishna who makes all the stars and the planets, etc., move. So the ultimate source, the ultimate cause is Krishna. He's the one who set it up like this. Why is the universe the way it is? That's the way Krishna set it up. You can go to maybe some other universe and see if it's set up in a different way. But it won't be. We already know that from Shastra. There's no need to go off in your space rockets and do research, see what's here, what's there. We already know from Shastra what's there. And even if you discover so many things, anyway, the whole universe is already described in two words by Krishna in Bhagavad Gita, Dukalayama Shastrata. Everything is miserable and it's all temporary. So there's no need to go exploring space and trying to find out what's on other planets. It's all miserable anyway and it's all temporary. And the real thing is to take the easy journey to other planets, chant Hare Krishna and go back to Godhead. But anyway, Krishna makes the divisions of time, the yuga, and then there are years which are measured differently in different planets. This was already known to the promulgators of the... Well, the Puranas come from Krishna, so in Vedic culture it was already known before Einstein theorized thus, or maybe someone before Einstein, that the measurement of time is different in different planets. That's already very clearly understood from Puranic cosmology, and therefore things happen just like this Revat. He goes up to Brahma's planet trying to get some advice from Brahma who can marry his daughter. And by the time he comes back, everyone he had in mind already died and were forgotten, because a short time on the planet of Brahma is a very long time here. So Krishna, he ordains the time, which is, as Herr Einstein informed us, it's relative to the motions of the various planets and heavenly bodies. So Krishna, he ordains that beginning with yugas, yugadi. So there are years and then there are months. It's also not arbitrary. The months, they are according to the zodiac. Then the month is divided into paksha, into fortnights, according to the waxing and waning of the moon. And that is again divided into weeks. And we find this all over the world, this division. It's based on the... planetary motion, and it's all set up by Krishna. That's the way it is. So Krishna, he makes the specific divisions of time, and he also makes the different yugas. Satya Yuga. In Satya Yuga, it is supposed that dharma is 100% present, at least the worldly dharma. Adharma is not much known, but it's not that it can't enter, but the dharma is very strong in that time, and then it's 25% reduced in Treta Yuga, another 25% in Dwarapa Yuga, and another 25% in Kali Yuga. So there's only maximum 25% dharma in Kali Yuga. Adharma predominates. So there's a different atmosphere within each yuga, and Krishna arranges that so that different people with different mentalities, different inclinations, different levels of piety can take birth in various yugas, and Krishna comes and ministers to them, and but as the yuga avatar, he promulgates the yuga dharma. So he makes the atmosphere in each yuga suitable for those souls who are fit, or who are predisposed, or whose karmic result is such that they are fit to take birth in that particular situation. And they also, by coming together, they reinforce that situation. They're all in that consciousness, similar consciousness, similar level of consciousness. And Krishna gives the yuga dharma, which is just suitable for the persons of each yuga, so that they can make spiritual advancement. Yugadikrit. At the end of each yuga, he begins another. He brings it in. There is a significant change between one yuga and the next. It's not a completely linear chronographically. It's not just simply linear. There is a specific change, just like between day and night. There is a very pronounced difference. There is a sandhya between each yoga, or what would you call that? Junction, yeah, it's a junction, but that doesn't really fully say it's an adjustment period, isn't it? Transition period, yeah, that's a good word. There is a transition period. But just like sandhya, the word is used for dusk, dawn and dusk. So there's a big difference between day and night, but there is a relatively short transition period. So in the same way, there is the yuga sandhya between each yuga. And Krishna, of course, I'm saying Krishna because this is the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. But Krishna is dancing in Vrindavan, and Vishnu, who is non-different from, who is Krishna, Vishnu oversees all of this. So he makes the particular atmosphere of each age. One question I have, and I didn't get the answer yet, but is, I asked Mukunda Maharaj years ago, who wrote this book, Divine Nature, talking about environmental disaster, ongoing disaster. We're all living in a disaster. I mean, apart from the general disaster that is this material world, we all live in a time of environmental disaster. And although some people say that the whole human race can be exterminated, we know from Shastra that it won't be exterminated until the end of the yuga, when Kalki comes, and then some will survive even then. But so in future, we can imagine that people will look back and think how incredibly stupid people were at this age, in the present time in which we're living, in which Janbuj karke, janaya shunaya bishakaino. Knowingly, they're making a complete environmental disaster, which is messing up the world in ways which are already having and will increasingly continue to have terrible consequences for the whole planet, including every living being living here, those that are not exterminated, those species are not already exterminated. Of course, Srila Prabhupada said that you can't actually exterminate any species. They may be living on another planet also. But it is a time of environmental disaster. So I asked Mukunda Maharaj, what happens at the end of Kali Yuga, when all the whole end of Kali Yuga, we've got a long way to go, and it's already a big mess. If the environment is completely polluted and there are irreversibly the ozone layer, so we're told, is depleted and so on and so on, does Krishna just come and put it back? He doesn't have to say a mantra, he can just buy his desire. What happens? Anyway, somehow or other, the good news is at the end of Kali Yuga, Satya Yuga comes in. But better news is, take advantage of Kali Yuga and go back to Godhead. Don't wait for Satya. Think, oh, well, if we wait long enough, then we can come again in Satya Yuga, and then everything will be nice. But then you have to do all austerities, and still you won't get Krishna prema that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has given. So the best thing is to chant Hare Krishna now, and go back to Godhead. And if we think I'll come around later, we get born in Kali Yuga, well, it's a very bad situation. Srila Prabhupada said that this Kali Yuga is so bad, he said, don't wait, don't come again, it's so bad, go back to Godhead in this very life. So Krishna is overseeing all of this. If we consider the complexity of the universe, both macrocosmically and microcosmically, whatever little we know about it, we don't know very much. Scientists, they study, they find out so many things, they speculate so many things, but ultimately we don't really know very much. And if we think we know very much, we say, well, we know a lot more than we knew 50 years ago. But then in 50 years they may say, well, we know a lot more than we knew 50 years ago. That means we always think that we know a lot, but we don't know very much at all. And a lot of what we think we know is incorrect anyway. And we can surmise that a lot of the things that the scientists say are correct now are wrong, because the history of science is a history of saying, yes, yes, it's like this, and then a few days later saying, well, it's not really like that, we did some more experiments. And we discover that is different. So we can surmise that whatever they're saying now is correct. After a few days, they're going to say, they're not even gentlemen. They don't even apologize and say sorry. They just quietly change the textbooks. They could never admit they were wrong. So that whatever you learned at school, 30 years later, if you want to teach your children, and they'll say, no, it's not like that, you don't know what you're talking about. The teacher told us something different at school. So it is education in ignorance. Some things might be true, but you don't know what's true and what isn't. So it's whatever it is, it's very complex, and it's beyond our ability to fully understand, and it's incredibly complex. To us it seems incredibly complex. Just like to an aborigine, or an adivasi, as they call them in India, although it's a wrong term because it's based on the idea that Darwinian theory, that originally there were people running around with bows and arrows only, but we know from Shastra that It's not evolution, it's devolution that's going on. Previously people were more advanced. Now they're more stupid. So if a jungle-vasi, let's use that term, a resident of the jungle with a simple bow and arrow sees a machine gun, he may think that's very sophisticated. But for someone, a very deadly weapon, which it certainly is, but if someone has access to nuclear missiles, then he'll think the machine gun is just a little toy for killing a few people at a time. Whereas a nuclear missile, that's much more effective. So, according to our vision, this whole universe may seem incredibly complex. But for Krishna, he just sets it up very easily. How he does everything, why he does everything, it's all explained in Shastra. But for us to understand comprehensively, it's beyond our power to do so. So some basic terms are given. Yugadikrit. So that summarizes what the scientists, years and years of research and big papers and all formulae speculating about how the universe came into existence and how it's going to end at some point. So many speculations, but simply we accept. Krishna is the supreme controller. Everything goes on under Krishna's direction. So to understand it in detail, in such detail, it's not actually necessary. It's just necessary to understand Dukhalayama Shashvatam. This mature world is miserable. Everything here is temporary. Therefore, we should go to the spiritual world. Not that some scientific knowledge is not needed, to go into so much detail is not needed. Just like simply, a person can keep a cow, feed it grass, and take milk. And someone else can study how the grass is growing, how by the gestation of the grass in the stomach of the cow, how it's produced milk. But anyway, the cow eats grass and turns it into milk. And you don't have to know how all these processes are going on. You take the milk, offer it to Krishna, and then you can drink and be spiritually benefited. Otherwise, you can do so much research and come up with new breed, new strains of grass and this and that, but in the end, it always becomes a problem. Whenever they try to improve anything, it's really characteristic of the mode of passion. That in the beginning, it looks good, but then after some years, you find it's a complete disaster. That's typical of the mode of passion. We're improving on nature. And in the end, they find too late. They find they made a bigger mess. And again, they won't admit it. Then they'll do some more research to patch up the mess they made, and then that makes another mess, and then they try to do some more research, and it goes on and on and on. In the meantime, Srila Prabhupada recommended, just forget all this nonsense, live simply, chant Hare Krishna, grow some food, offer it to Krishna. Anyway, I'm getting a bit off the subject here. Krishna is Yugadikrit. I think I went through all these points. He appears as the yoga avatar. Oh yeah, another point. Yes, that's an important point. That all these changes are going on. Yugas are coming and going. Big men are coming and going, and big women also, we have to say. We're not sexist. It's mostly big men, actually. So all this is coming and going, and we're doing research, what's this, what's that going on, writing books, so on. And Krishna is lying on a banyan leaf in the water of destruction and just sucking his toe, nice sweet nectar from his own toe, the nectar of his lotus feet. Krishna is aloof. We're going on. We have a very important political meeting, what to do, and make some business, phone up, send these goods there, buy so much stocks, so many important things. Krishna is just lying on the banyan leaf. Little baby. Nothing, no anxiety. No, it's all nonsense. Let them do whatever they like. Krishna's lying on the banyan leaf, and his devotees are worshipping him. That's all. And everything is going on. One yoga after another yoga after another yoga after another yoga. On and on and on. Another point. Yuga dikrit. Yuga means joining. So literally means juncture. Oh, that's sandha. You said juncture. Yeah. So it means joining. So one important problem in science and philosophy is how does everything fit together and how is there a continuum? According to Buddhists, or the school of Buddhism called Shunyavad, well, that's, anyway, it's a bit complex, and I don't understand it all, thank Krishna, because we don't want to understand Buddhism. But they have a problem in saying that nothing, there's no actual substance or reality. Well, how does everything go on? And when I think I lift my hand, it lifts like this. When I eat some food, it digests, usually, most of the time. And if it doesn't, or it doesn't digest, then it indigests in a predictable way. So how is there a continuity? How does everything all fit together? How is it all held together? Krishna holds it all together. The continuity is in space and in time. And that continuity, how is that? That is because of Krishna. Krishna holds everything together. Shushti, Stiti, Pralay. Creation, maintenance, and destruction. This is not only at the cosmic level, but at every level. In even everything is created, maintained, destroyed. Krishna is overseeing everything. So when we say that Krishna is overseeing everything, it's impossible for us to even imagine how Krishna, by his desire, by his design, by his energy, he holds everything together and makes a continuum. Otherwise, everything would be chaotic. That there is order is because Krishna keeps everything in order. So this is, if we try to think about it, it's simply mind-boggling. How great is Krishna? That's only ekang shena stito jagat. By one ansha, by one particle of Krishna's energy, he maintains the whole universe. And we can't even imagine how Krishna is doing that. So he is the person or the principle by which everything goes. We're able to perceive a continuum. We don't even think about it unless we start to get philosophical. But most of the time, we just take for granted that there is a time, there's a continuum of time. Why? How? That's Krishna. Makes it possible. Yeah, so the Buddhists, they have a problem with that. They have to invent some extremely bizarre philosophy. That there is no, because according to them, there can be no continuum. So they say there isn't a continuum. Well, we see a continuum. Well, at every moment, exactly what they mean by a moment is very difficult to define, because whenever you say a moment, there's always a time span shorter than that. But it just ceases to exist and again exists. Ceases to exist, again exists. But there's no gap in between. It's not a very plausible explanation. It's much more satisfying and realistic, we could say, but realistic is not a term that pertains to Buddhist philosophy, but it's much more realistic to accept that, well, the universe is real in the sense that it does exist at some level. That there are actual changes. It exists in the sense that it's perceivable. We experience everything in the universe. But we can say it doesn't exist in the fullest sense because everything changes. So what we perceive at one moment is actually different in the next moment. But there is a continuum. It doesn't change like the advertisements on Indian TV. Every half a second there's a different boom, 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 boom. It's all changing so quickly. There is a continuum. We perceive time due to changes. Day and night is the obvious one. And day, the rising of the sun. The sun goes to the zenith, then comes down and sets. And within that time, people perform various activities. So time is measured by changes and activity. If there's no change, then it's very difficult for us, specifically of day and night, then it's very difficult for us to perceive what is time. Many years ago, in Copenhagen, the capital of Denmark, I was arrested for the crime of collecting money for the Krishna Consciousness Movement. I wasn't charged with a crime. The policeman who arrested me didn't say anything, just put me in a cell with no windows and with a single light bulb burning, and took away my watch. It's a kind of mental torture in which you don't know what, you can't know what the time is. He let me out 24 hours later. Presumably, you can only keep someone legally for 24 hours without any charge or any question. Didn't question me, nothing. Just stuck there. So I experienced that with permanent light, and you can't see outside to see how people are moving around and what the, whether it's day or night. Your sense of time is lost. I didn't know whether I'd been there for 1 hour or 5 hours, or now it's day or now it's night. I couldn't know. So Krishna, he is time, he is the maker of time, and he makes it in such a way that we can perceive the passing of time. The Brahmavadis, they want to merge into light, only light, with no activities and then no time and no experience of anything, actually, just light, that's all. It's not very attractive. So, activities, Krishna ordains various activities in various yugas. There's another way to know what the time is. You can have a look at the watch. I can see that. Yeah, okay. So, yeah. Yeah, I'd said that he puts people who are caught, people who are suitable to be born in Kali Yuga, they're born in Kali Yuga, they have such a mentality. It wouldn't work if you had people with a Kali Yuga mentality in Satya Yuga, it wouldn't work, it wouldn't be Satya Yuga. Satya Yuga, the situation is made for people who have that kind of outlook, and therefore by Krishna's direction, they are born in that situation. Yeah, there's some other. So, some other interpretations also. The next name is Yugarvarta, which means he who revolves the yugas. So it's similar to some of the principal meaning is similar to some of the meanings of the name Yugadikrit. You'll find in Vishnu Sahasranam that many of the names, they have more or less the same meaning, or the meanings overlap, or the same name but from a same meaning but from a slightly, can be from different angles and perspectives. So he revolves the yugas, he makes them turn around. We can say that Krishna is time, and he is the principle that underlies time. So avarta refers to revolution or rotation. Everything, it all goes round and round and round, on and on and on. It's all predictable. Okay. Then another name, Naikamaya. Naikamaya. Not Eka, one Maya, not one Maya. So Maya is usually understood to mean illusion. It can also mean, it can mean illusion in a in the sense of, generally understood to mean illusion in the sense of bewildering and creating illusion in the sense of ignorance or foolishness or misunderstanding. But it can, the illusion can also be something desirable. People who take certain kinds of drugs, they take them for the sake of having a state of altered consciousness in which they know it's illusory, but it seems very pleasing. Drugs such, anyway, I don't have to say the names of the drugs. But an illusion can be pleasing, but illusion of the spiritual world, that illusion of love, pure love, in which devotees, they don't think of Krishna as supreme, but they think of him as their personal, intimate friend or son or lover. Maya can also mean mercy. So this name has many possibilities for understanding. Parashara Bhatta, being a Vaishnava, says that here Maya means knowledge or wonderful truths and should not be interpreted as illusion. He is naikamaya, because of his innumerable and wonderful activities. And so that could be extrapolated in endless ways. All the pastimes of Krishna, they're all amazing. They're all beautiful. So he Maya, in the sense that he charms the devotees. He captures their heart by his attractive pastimes. Not only his attractive pastimes, everything about him is attractive. Madhuradhipater akhilam madhuram. Everything about him is very sweet. Of course, yeah, everything about him. Damanam madhuram. Even when he's smashing the demons, that's also very sweet. Although it may be appreciated in a different way. So everything, he's not just sweet in one way. He's not charming in one way, but in naeka means aneka, not one. So especially in Bengali, anek doesn't mean two or three, it means many. Of course, it could mean two. Anek also means more than one, but it's used to mean many. So unlimited, his forms, his pastimes, his instructions, everything is encompassed within Krishna. And many suggests, the very word many, aneka, many. Actually, the more precise term would be bohu, in many. But that suggests that it is not within the power of our comprehension to understand. Being of limited intelligence, we can't even begin to think of how many forms, pastimes, and how many ways Krishna is charming. We can't even understand this material world, or even anything very small about this material world, we can't understand. There's nothing that we can understand fully, even in this material world. And what to speak of Krishna? So Krishna, in many ways, in every way, in innumerable ways, Krishna is simply charming, bewildering. Bewildering means we can't think clearly. That is the goal of life, to become a madman, to become bewildered in love of Krishna. Being as if intoxicated by thought of Krishna, being so much captivated by thought of Krishna that one has no interest in, or practically no perception or experience of, this material world and everything going on around it. So the goal of life is to become a spiritual madman, as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu learned from his own guru. Evam rata sapriyanama kirtya jata anuraga chitta drutte uchai hasatiti rotiti roti unmadavan ritchati. I forgot, Gayati. Unmadavan ritchati lokabhaya. The being captivated by the name of Krishna, being absorbed in thought of Krishna, devotee laughs, chants, dances, cries, not caring for outsiders. Vishoi amari pagala balaya ongete dibe kadhuli. Bhaktivinoda Thakur similarly says that he'll be very happy if materialistic people call him a madman and throw dirt on him. That would be very nice, he thinks, to be captivated by Krishna. So Krishna is not single faceted, he's multifaceted bliss. Now, Shankaracharya, according to his philosophy, says that Vishnu he assumes many forms of illusion. That's how Shankaracharya. But even if you say many forms, then it's not all one. The very word na eka immediately refutes Shankaracharya's understanding. So then he has to resort to some word jugglery to try to explain it. But it's also true that his illusion, this material world, the illusion here is also multifaceted. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he says, Keshava tua jagata bichitra. In so many ways, there are so many different philosophies and ideas and attractions. Ultimately, we're dragged simply to pungsastriya mithuni bhava, the attraction between male and female. But that manifests in various ways. Satyadeva Vashishta, another commentator, the word maya he takes to mean measurement. So, of course, maya, one meaning of maya is, mapiya anayate iti maya. To attempt to measure Krishna, that is called illusion. But even if we try to measure Krishna, we'll find there are different measurements. How tall is Krishna? Little bit over. How about that? About 1 meter. How many? 1 meter, 15 centimeters, approximately. This Krishna. How you measure around here, like the tailors, they measure. If you feed him more, you'll find it will become more. Well, that's true with everyone. If you eat more, except me, I eat, I don't become fat. But then we'll find, there's also Krishna here. You see, how tall is Krishna? You say about 1 meter, 15 centimeters, and then, no, he's this high. How tall is he? Is he within the atoms? Is he within the Atma or just with the Atma? What's the answer? Oh, then you have a big discussion. He's very small. And everything's within Krishna. So if you try to measure him, you'll find you can get a tiny microscope, electron microscope or something. It's still not powerful enough to find out how small is Krishna. If you try to find out how big he is, then you that's not possible also. And everything in between. So you may say, what's the point of measuring? And that's it. There's no point in trying to measure. Don't even bother. It's not possible. It's beyond our measurement. So don't try to measure him. Just make some clothes. Well, you have to measure to make some clothes. Make some clothes for him and don't think that we can understand everything about him. That is foolish. But make some nice clothes for him to wear. And make nicer clothes for Radharani, Srila Prabhupada said. Should make better clothes for Radha. We should always dress Radha more attractively than Krishna. And then Krishna will never go away. But you can't guarantee also that Krishna does what he likes. Baladev Vidya Bhushan commenting on this name says that it means that he preaches the specific dharma for every yoga. So in this way, he links this name with the names Yugadikrit and Yugavarta. If we take Maya here to mean knowledge, then he gives, he presents the knowledge of each yoga dharma, which is, each one is different. The goal is the same, but the process is different. Hare Krishna. All right, I'll finish that now. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Oh, we have a little... Questions. Yeah.
Have you ever thought of being such a
thing? Yeah, okay, all right. It's a formality.
You understand?
Thank you for thanking me for giving such a nice class.
You are describing the bodies of large men, you are able, so that's very... Krishna also says in Bhagavad Gita, Paitramaya, Sarvana, Vyanasha, Vishkuta, where he mentioned that whenever there is a rise of irreligion and a decrease of irreligion,
we all know what it means.
Where he mentions that he protects the devotees and destroys the miscreants.
Yeah.
Also, in other places, in Bhagavad Gita, Seventh Canto, Krishna says,
He doesn't favor who? Kaliyuga is saying that predominantly it's in mode of ignorance. Yeah.
So, and those who are in mode of goodness, they are not favored. Can you explain why is it so?
Persons in the mode of goodness are not favored in Kali Yuga. The Kali Yuga is meant for people who are sinful. It's not meant for people in the mode of goodness. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in this Kali Yuga has very kindly offered a process by which people, even if they're not fit, which almost everyone is not fit, they can achieve the highest benefit. Your question that Krishna favors persons in the mode of goodness, but he creates a situation in Kali Yuga in which it is suitable for people to, nasty people to be nasty to each other. So it seems that the mode of people in the mode of goodness are not favored. Your question is something like asking, in the prison, why is it like a prison? It's like a prison because it's meant to be a prison. It's also made by the government. The good people are not supposed to be in the prison. They're somewhere else. Some good people are the supposed to be good. This is the theoretical, the governor of the prison, the wardens. So they're favored. They're not treated as prisoners. They're in the prison, but they're free to come and go. They simply have a duty to perform there. You're looking doubtful.
I had this question because in Bhaktivinoda, you see, the Krishna work is so far. He did his pastimes to such an extent that he acted in so many ways in order to protect the Pandavas and make them flourish. However, in Kali Yuga or in other times, attacks where the motor coolness is raising and where there is little motor coolness, doesn't seem to exist externally. The Krishna is acting in such a way that
doesn't seem that Krishna is acting in such a way that you can understand. Well, that's normal. It didn't seem, you gave the example of the Pandavas, it might have not seemed that Krishna was acting to benefit the Pandavas for a long time. But eventually he did. It might not have seemed that Krishna was protecting Prahlad. He let Hiranyakashipu go on with his tormenting of Prahlad, but in due course of time, he intervened. When we say that Krishna protects the devotees, he does so as he likes. He doesn't do as we think he should. He may let the torment go on for some time, and act when he feels it is right to do so. That's all I can say. If you can't understand, I'm sorry. I don't know any more about the psychology of Bhagavan than this. All right. Different set, yeah. Yeah, it may be that people born in Satya Yuga also get born in Kali Yuga if they have if their consciousness becomes degraded. It's not that they're separate living beings. No, they're not intrinsically different set of living beings, but different living beings at certain stages of their journey throughout the material world, they sadasad yoni janmasu karanam guna sangasya sadasad yoni janmasu, according to their association with the material modes of nature, they sometimes are born in a better situation, sometimes in a worse situation. So it's not exactly a different set, just slight clarification there. Yeah. Question is answered. All right. Okay. You want to show your little show?